Beloved, remembered by God and remembering both the call and the promises of God, the everlasting love of God the Father, the gift of the Son, and the strength of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Righteous God, our merciful Master, you own the earth and all its peoples, and you give us all that we have. Inspire us to serve you with justice and wisdom, and prepare us for the joy of the day of your coming. Through Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord. You may be seated.
Children of the world.
A reading from Zephaniah. Be silent before the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. The Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has consecrated his guests. At that time I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the people who rest complacently on their dregs, those who say in their hearts, "The Lord will not do good, nor will he do harm." Their wealth shall be plundered and their houses laid waste. Though they build houses, they shall not inhabit them. Though they plant vineyards, they shall not drink wine from them. The great day of the Lord is near, near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. The warrior cries aloud there. That day will be a day of wrath, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet blast and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the lofty battlements. I will bring such distress upon people that they shall walk like the blind. Because they have sinned against the Lord, their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like dung. Neither their silver nor their gold will be able to save them on the day of the Lord's wrath. In the fire of his passion, the whole earth shall be consumed. For a terrible end he will make of all the inhabitants of the earth. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 90 responsively. Lord, you have been our refuge from one generation to another.
Before the mountains were brought forth, or the land and the earth were born, from age to age you are God.
You turn us back to the dust and say, "Turn back, O children of earth."
For 1,000 years are your sight, are like yesterday when you passed, and like a watch in the night.
You sweep them away like a dream. They fade away suddenly, like the grass.
The morning is green, green flourishes. In the evening it is dried up and withered.
For we are consumed by your anger. We are afraid because of your wrath.
Our iniquities you have set before you, and our secret sins in the light of your countenance.
When you are angry, all our days are gone. We bring our years to an end like a sigh.
Span of our life is 7 years, perhaps in strength than in age. Yet the sum of them is but labor and sorrow, for they pass away quickly and we are gone.
Who regards the power of your wrath? Who rightly fears your indignation?
So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from 1 Thessalonians. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. But you, beloved, are not in darkness for that day to surprise you like a thief, for you are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So then let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who are drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them, and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Then the one who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours." But his master replied, "You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather what I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The Gospel of the Lord.
Interesting timing, isn't it? When the people put together the lectionary giving us what readings to read on a certain Sunday, couldn't have possibly known that this reading, this story of Jesus would be told on this Sunday in the midst of such an economic situation that we're having in our world. Given what we have seen happening in the stock market and what we hear on the news these past few months, digging a hole and burying our cash in the backyard doesn't sound like such a crazy idea. Everyone who laughed at that crazy old guy that kept his money between the mattress and the box springs having second thoughts today. Maybe that guy had the right idea all along, taking risks with the bank or with investment companies, with demanding bosses, even with life itself. Maybe all of that is just too risky, too uncertain, too dangerous. After all, if you hide your treasure under the mattress or put it in a shoebox or in that deep hole next to the fountain in the patio, you know exactly what you've got and where you stand. Of course, you're not going to double your investment. You won't be able to brag to your brother-in-law about your financial savvy. You won't be making charitable contributions with your dividend checks. In fact, everyone will treat you like that crazy old guy with the lumpy mattress. But at least under your mattress or in the back of your closet or in the hole in the ground, it's safe. And in a world where people harvest what they do not plant and gather where they do not scatter, in a world filled with dangerous opportunities, in a world where the markets are uncertain and our masters are demanding, in that world, safety can sometimes seem like the wisest choice of all. But Jesus just can't leave it alone. He tells a story that turns everything upside down. Our expectations are challenged. Jesus' story doesn't make a bit of worldly sense. Especially not today. But it does make heavenly sense, especially today. This story invites us to see that people who hedge their bets, who hide their treasures, people who are fearful and take no risks, these are the people who are exactly risking everything. Like the servants in the story, God offers us a partnership. The first two servants, the one who got 5 talents and the one who got 2 talents, saw this partnership as an opportunity. They immediately went off and started using the money to make more. They knew that what the master had given them could easily be lost or stolen. They knew that they could make bad investments, but they took the risk anyway. The third servant saw that offer of partnership with the master as a burden. This could be a potential landmine, and it had to be avoided. He knew that what the master had given him could be lost or stolen. He knew that he could make a bad investment, so he opted for damage control. He avoided the challenge of partnership and ended up by finding out that playing it safe is the biggest risk of all. In a lot of ways, it's hard to see how servant number 3 is so bad. He's not a dishonest man out to get whatever he can from his boss. There's no hint of fraud or scandal. He doesn't have plans to embezzle funds or to swindle his master. We don't get any indication that he's a prodigal son out on a fling or that he's untrustworthy at all. So what's so wrong with being cautious? What's so wrong with trying to protect yourself? Usually, deliberateness and discretion are virtues. But in this servant, they become vices. His prudence becomes self-protection. His inhibition turns into fear, and this servant refuses to take a risk. By preserving exactly what has been entrusted to him, he thinks that at least he can stay in his master's good graces. Though the master expressed confidence by giving him this talent, he doesn't trust the master. He judges him to be a harsh man, and he thinks it's better to protect his own safety and his own security than to run the risk of losing the money and angering his master. Now, there's something else in this story. The two servants who were good stewards didn't get an Employee of the Year award to hang on the wall or an office parking place right in the front of the office. What they did get were two things. First, they got more responsibility. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. The reward for taking a risk and managing the investment was the responsibility of greater risk and the challenge of larger investments. And with that responsibility came the second reward, the joy of the master's presence. Enter into the joy of your master. Come on in and share my happiness, the master says to those servants. And the punishment to the third servant is the loss of these two things. He loses the responsibility of being a steward, and he loses the joy of the master's presence. Now, of course, this scripture, this story of Jesus, is not about investment strategies or how to manage your cash flow. It's about what we do with the treasure of grace that God has invested in us. It's about what we do with our call to partnership with God. That call, that partnership that was given to us in baptism. This story reminds us that God has invested in us. If we play it safe, and if we risk nothing in return with that partnership, we actually risk everything. If we take this parable seriously, we will hear in it a profound call to unhide ourselves, to stretch ourselves forward to that fullness that God wants to give us, that fullness for which God has created us. Passivity, playing it safe, being shy, being cautious are not virtues. But it really isn't about us in the end. It's about God. God takes the most basic things and does miracles with them. Think of the word, of water, of bread, of wine, of us, our very selves. God is present here in these most basic things. And it is through that awesome grace that God is transforming and sustaining the world. Don't hide the gift that God has given to you. The world needs to know about God's most amazing grace, and the world needs to know it from you. Pastor Dan Bullard wrote this poem entitled The Parable of the Talents. Gifts abound, filling our lives with all the love God has for us. Here, take it, live it, use it, and experience, feel, taste the joy of living connected to the living, loving, caring, and yes, forgiving God. But what if I might misuse? I might make a mistake. Maybe God made a mistake. What if I do something wrong? Better to do nothing than something wrong. Wrong. Sin boldly. Live boldly. Use every bit of every gift God has given you. Mistakes are part of the process, the fun, the joy of living and learning. Your light will never shine buried in the ground. Combined with thousands of other lights, it can illumine the world. Put that shovel down and live in love, for love, with love, and laugh with joy and with God.